It's not just about watching the game. It's about betting on it. I'm Mike Valeni, and on Cash the Ticket, Jim Costa and I break down every college football and NFL matchup like it's the last game we're ever going to watch, from the best bets to the sneaky underdogs. And of course, as my co-host likes to say, the value. And the one thing we're not going to do is pretend we're professionals. We have fun with it. It's an entertainment product, and it makes watching games a hell of a lot of fun. So Cash the Ticket, follow it in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
WPHT, WPHT, HD, WOGL, HD3, Philadelphia. From the Cherry Hill Volvo Studios, where relationships matter. Always live on the free Odyssey app. The revolution will be broadcast.
This is the next generation of talk. Now on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT, Rich Zeoli.
All right, in the wake of all these college protests, particularly at Columbia University, the Speaker of the House, Mike Johnson, just had a meeting with Jewish students. He's speaking now live. Let's take a listen.
Did mob rule. We are standing here right now on the steps of the Lowe Library. In this very building right behind us, Columbia University once awarded Winston Churchill an honorary degree, and it was Churchill who said, "It is manifestly right that Jews should have a national home where they may be reunited." We believe in that principle. And today I'm here to proclaim to all those who gnash their teeth and demand to wipe the state of Israel off the map and attack our innocent Jewish students this simple truth. Neither Israel nor these Jewish students on this campus will ever stand alone. Today, Hamas issued an endorsement statement of the protesters on this campus. They called them the future leaders of America. It is detestable. All of this has to be said because the cherished traditions of this university are being overtaken right now by radical and extreme ideologies. They place a target on the backs of Jewish students in the United States and here on this campus. A growing number of students have chanted in support of terrorists. They have chased down Jewish students. They have mocked them and reviled them. They have shouted racial epithets. They have screamed at those who bear the Star of David. Enjoy your free speech. They've told Jewish students who wear the Star of David to leave the country. And shamefully, some professors and faculty have joined the mobs. Things have gotten so out of control that the schools canceled in-person classes, and now they've come up with this hybrid model where they will discriminate against Jewish students. They are not allowed to come to class anymore for fear of their lives, and it's detestable. As Columbia has allowed these lawless agitators and radicals to take over, the virus of anti-Semitism is spread across other campuses. By some counts, as many as 200 universities have a similar form of protest right now. At Yale, a Jewish student was stabbed in the eye with a Palestinian flag, and 45 students were arrested. At NYU, pro-Hamas protesters were shouting from the river to the sea. Anti-Israel encampments are popping up at universities all across this country. The madness has to stop. The madness has to stop. We just left a meeting with students, Jewish students, who told us of the heinous acts of bigotry that they have experienced simply because of their faith. Their bravery is inspiring, much more inspiring than some of the activities we're seeing here. And they should never have to confront such hate on an American college campus. It's such a revered institution. Anti-Semitism has been growing in America, and it's clear why. Powerful people have refused to condemn it, and some have even peddled it themselves. From university professors to public officials, people in positions of authority have denied the horrific facts of September 11, 2001, the attacks on the United States that happened right here in New York City, and they've attempted to excuse or to ignore the barbaric attack of Hamas in Israel on October 7, 2023, where Israeli women and children were savagely raped and murdered, and infants were cooked in ovens. Crowds of radical activists have chanted death to America and on our own streets in this country, and sub-public officials have refused to condemn them. Others have openly defended these acts on campus, and the harassing and the intimidation and the threatening of innocent Jewish students simply because of who they are. They've called that peaceful protest. And some have even gone as far as calling for the state of Israel to be eliminated. These are words we expect from Ayatollahs in Iran, not American lawmakers and not American students. And unsurprisingly, it has given way to threats and violence in a generation of students who feel safe in their own classrooms, who don't feel safe in their own classrooms, or where they live or where they worship. Let me say this very simply. No American of any color or creed should ever have to live under those kinds of threats. That is not who we are in this country. Sadly, Columbia's administrators have chosen to let the threats, the fear, and the intimidation of the mob rule, to overtake American principles like free speech and the free exchange of ideas and the free exercise of religion. They have co-opted First Amendment arguments to protect genocide and to elevate the voices of anti-Semitism. They have proven themselves to be incapable of achieving their basic responsibility, which is keeping students safe. We just can't allow this kind of hatred and anti-Semitism to flourish on our campuses, and it must be stopped in its tracks. Those who are perpetrating this violence should be arrested. And I'm here today joining my colleagues and calling on President Shafiq to resign if she cannot immediately bring order to this chaos. As Speaker of the House, I am committing today that the Congress will not be silent as Jewish students are expected to run for their lives and stay home from their classes hiding in fear. In the House of Representatives, we've already acted to address anti-Semitism on campuses. We have passed a number of statutes to address this matter, and we call upon the U.S. Senate to act upon our legislation. I have a couple of my colleagues here that I'd like to share a few words. I'll turn it over first to the chair of the House Education and Workforce Commission, Virginia Fox, Congresswoman Virginia Fox, North Carolina. Virginia?
Thanks, Mr. Speaker. Columbia University is in a free fall. Following the explosion of this anti-Semitism, the Education and Workforce Committee started investigating. So far, the committee has uncovered key failures in the administration's response to the anti-Semitic attacks and displays embroiling this campus. First, President Shafiq presented false testimony to the committee regarding the removal of Professor Joseph Massad. No action was taken. In addition, the administration has suspended two Jewish students for a made-up chemical attack. So I have a message, President Shafiq, and a message for you all, too. The inmates are running the asylum.
That's right.
Take back control of this once great institution. You took action last week. It's time to act again. If not, the committee will pursue every possible avenue to create a safe learning environment for Jewish students. I yield back.
Next is Congresswoman Nicole Malliotakis from here in New York.
Welcome to New York City.
Yes, indeed.
Well, thank you very much for coming today. I'm so happy to welcome the speaker to New York City, and we appreciate his leadership and coming here to condemn the anti-Semitism that has been allowed to fester on this campus. We just met with a group of students who told us that not only have they been bullied, but they've been, many of them, assaulted. They have been spat on. They have had to walk the halls of this campus to see swastikas painted. These are clear examples of anti-Semitism, and it's shocking to see that it's happening in the most diverse and welcoming city in America. It is truly outrageous, and it's clear that the president of this university cannot control the campus. She cannot and will not hold students who are doing these types of anti-Semitic activities accountable, and that she cannot keep the students who are of Jewish faith, who have paid a lot of money and have worked very hard to get to an Ivy League institution like this, that she cannot keep them safe. And that is why I join my colleagues in calling for her resignation. Thank you.
The next, another congressman from New York, Anthony D'Esposito.
happy.
Well, thank you, Mr. Speaker. If you are a protester on this campus and you are proud that you've been endorsed by Hamas, you are part of the problem. When you cheer on the fact that you enjoy Hamas and Hezbollah, you are yourself part of the problem. Mr. Speaker, I am proud to join with you here today in calling for the immediate resignation of the President of Columbia. She has failed her duty. She is not keeping students safe. And we see on this campus the hate-filled speech that is carrying through this country.
Right.
Another New York congressman, Mike Lawler.
Well, thank you, Mr. Speaker, for being here in New York. I want Palestinians to be free, too, from their oppressor, Hamas.
Right.
And every single one of you students that support Hamas are an absolute abomination. It is shameful, shameful that you would support a terrorist organization that butchered and beheaded and burned innocent women, children, and babies. I went to Israel a month after the attack on October 7th, and I watched a 21-minute unedited video, raw footage of the attack. I watched exactly what Hamas did. And sadly, sadly here in America, we have students endorsing the butchering and brutality of a terrorist organization. If you want a ceasefire, the fastest way for a ceasefire to occur is for Hamas to surrender and to release the hostages. And if you can't call for that, you are a pathetic embarrassment to this institution and to students everywhere. It is time for President Shafik to resign in disgrace. She has lost control of this campus. She has lost control of this institution. And after listening to her comments inside, it is clear that she has no intention of getting this university under control and ensuring the safety and well-being of every student. That is what is entitled to students attending this institution. If the students are not safe, if the institution will not act, Congress has a responsibility to do so, and we will.
That's right.
Good job, Mike.
I want to thank my colleagues for sharing their thoughts here. I want to say this as well. At the start of the American Revolution, the doors of this institution, once known as King's College, were closed. When the war ended, the institution reopened and was renamed Columbia College. It was a shift from the tyranny of the monarchy to the freedom at the heart of the American experiment. And now the forces of hatred and oppression once again are on the march. They've begun to try to close Columbia's doors to a segment of students. To every Jewish student listening to us, no matter where you are around the country, you have my word. The U.S. House of Representatives will do everything in our power to ensure that you are safe, you can freely practice your faith, and you can go to school, just like everybody else. We will punish those who have allowed this violence and bigotry to go unchecked. With that, I'll take a few questions. We met briefly with the president and her top officials right before we came out on the steps here. We encouraged her to take immediate action and stamp this out. And our feeling is that they have not acted to restore order on the campus. This is dangerous. This is not free expression. This is not First Amendment. They are threatening, intimidating, saying that they will take violence upon Jewish students. We met with Jewish students who are in fear. They can't come on campus. They can't study for their final exams. This affects everybody's lives, and it affects the image that we portray to the world. This is not who we are as Americans, and it's time to act like it.
Have you spoken to the president about bringing in the National Guard? A number of senators have done that. Are you urging the president to do that as well?
My intention is to call President Biden after we leave here and share with him what we have seen with our own two eyes and demand that he take action. There is executive authority that be appropriate. If this is not contained quickly, and if these threats and intimidation are not stopped, there is an appropriate time for the National Guard. We have to bring order to these campuses. We cannot allow this to happen around the country. We are better than this. We are better than this, and I'll ask the President to do that, and I'll tell him that very same thing.
Speaker, what is the House going to do? So you've moved some things, you've done, what is your plan when you get back?
The House has been investigating a number of these campuses. There is a nexus to federal funding. If these campuses cannot get control of this problem, they do not deserve taxpayer dollars. That's a very serious issue. You've seen our Education and Workforce Committee having oversight hearings. We have brought the presidents of these universities to Congress to testify under oath, and you've seen accountability begun there. There'll be much more of that. We'll continue to work on legislation to adjust this at the federal level. This Congress, and I genuinely believe there's bipartisan agreement on this, will stand for what is good and what is right. It does not matter who shouts in our faces. We're going to do what is right by America. We respect free speech. We respect diversity of ideas. But there is a way to do that in a lawful manner, and that's not what this is.
Mr. Speaker, what do you want them?
So there are students, well, some of the student organizers are part of the group called Jewish Voices for Peace. There are two students who held a press conference yesterday saying that they faced more anti-Semitic attacks.
This is the Speaker of the House speaking at Columbia University right now.
Group that is in the encampment. So how do you respond to the fact that they...
I'm not sure who the aggressors are, but I will tell you that any of that is inappropriate. It's lawlessness. It's chaos. That is not who we are. We believe in the rule of law. That is one of the foundational principles of America, and it must be maintained. The college campus used to be the place for respectful debate. For the differences of opinion and the free marketplace of ideas to be discussed. That is not what is happening here. You're intimidating and shouting down people you disagree with. You cannot censor and silence viewpoints you disagree with. That is not American. You do not understand what it means to respect the First Amendment. Yes.
What is your message to the students inside the encampment right now?
My message to the students inside the encampment is go back to class and stop the nonsense. Look, if we want to have a debate on campus about the merits of these things, let's do that. But you can't intimidate your fellow students and make them stay home from class. Think about that. Is that right? Do you think that's right? Stop wasting your parents' money, Congressman Lawler says. I think that's right.
Last one. What about Zionist Jews inside the camp that are celebrating Shabbat?
I don't know who's in that camp over there, but I would tell you that this is unacceptable, and the American people are demanding accountability for it. And that's why we made the trip here today. That's why this press conference is important. We want this administration and the administration of every university campus around the country to bring this to account and to bring this lawlessness to an end. And that's what we need to do.
Okay. All right. So that was the Speaker of the House, Mike Johnson. And I will take a quick break. We'll come back. Just obviously, you know, there's a difference between free speech, which is your right to say things, and then some of the other things he was mentioning there in terms of attacks against Jewish students. So lots to unpack from that. 855-839-1210 on Twitter at Rich Zeoli. If you'd like to weigh in on Twitter as well and social media, we'll continue along here. I do want to tell you about my friends at Emmons Roofing and Siding. Question: how is your home doing these days with the roof, windows, doors, and siding? You know, protection, peace of mind is everything with your home. And my friends, Matt and Stephanie, the owners of Emmons, are great people and close friends of mine. They were over for dinner recently. They are going to make sure that your home is taken care of, in great hands. Perhaps it's a lifetime warranty with the Owens Corning shingle, the best in the business roof, or it's new windows, doors that will add value to your home. Siding that will create more insulation to keep your home more energy efficient. Whatever it is, at Emmons Roofing and Siding, you can ensure, you will ensure that you're going to have the best experience. They're going to take great care of you. They serve our entire region of Pennsylvania, New Jersey, Delaware, and the Jersey Shore. And because they know times are tough right now, they're offering each and every one of my listeners 10% off roofing Anderson Windows, Siding, and Doors. 10% off an inflation relief discount. You can't pass that up. Just reach out to Emmons today. I've been using them for years, and I trust them tremendously. They do such great work. Just go to emmonsroofing.com, E-M-M-O-N-S, emmonsroofing.com. Or give them a call today and have them come out and take a look at your home for a free inspection, 856-885-6677. You will love the work. You'll love and appreciate the fact that they'll clean up when they're done. The job will be done on time, on budget, and you will be in great hands every step of the way. EmmonsRoofing.com. Don't forget, 10% off roofing, Anderson Windows, Siding, and Doors. EmmonsRoofing.com.
If your day sounds like...
We need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through... You deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame...
Two more.
You deserve this ice-cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
What's better than watching your team win? Winning money while you do it. I'm Jim Costa, and on Cash the Ticket, Mike Valeni and I give you the edge to make every game playable. College football, NFL, we're breaking it all down game by game. Your podcast feed is going to be filled, and you're going to love it. You can click on the games you care about. We do it all. With our analysis, we're finding games that other people aren't talking about. We're turning every Saturday and every Sunday into days where you got a chance to win. Don't just sit on the sidelines. Cash the Ticket with us. Follow Cash the Ticket in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Scioli Show on your schedule from Talk Radio 1210 WPHT in the free Odyssey app.
All righty, 855-839-1210. Big story of the hour brought to you by my buddy, Dr. Mike Veneri of VeneriaDental.com. Go see him today for your perfect smile, V-A-N-A-R-I-A, VeneriaDental.com. Wanted to mention to you what the bill does not do. The bill that I mentioned to you, the $95 billion in foreign aid, what it doesn't do. I've mentioned this before, but I wanted to mention it to you again. This is what the bill doesn't do. Now, it's not going to be done, just so you know, for the rest of the year. It's not going to be done. So this is the president, after he signed the bill. It's emergency supplemental. It's got to be an emergency. It's money for Ukraine. It's got to be an emergency. Cut number two.
Give it 1 second.
Uh-oh.
But there's one thing this bill does not do, border security. You know, just this year, I proposed and negotiated and agreed to the strongest border security bill this country has ever seen. It was bipartisan. It should have been included in this bill. And I'm determined to get it done for the American people. But I'll come back to that in another moment, another time.
We'll come back to it at another time. We'll just come back to it at another time. No big deal. No big whoop. We'll just surrender. Republicans will just surrender on everything and, you know, come back to it another time. Here's Florida Governor Ron DeSantis ripping the Speaker of the House, Mike Johnson, and the Republicans for giving up all their leverage and getting nothing in return. Cut number five.
Just in relation to, you know, what's been going on in the Congress recently, you know, Republicans were sent there, and the number one issue that our voters wanted them to address is the southern border and the massive influx of foreigners by the millions coming into this country, and we don't know who these people are, and they basically just surrendered on the border. They now have no leverage to do anything on the border. They had an opportunity to insist that Biden accept the border if he wanted all the foreign aid, and they decided to capitulate, and so he got everything he wants, and Republican voters did not get anything with respect to stopping this problem at the southern border. And I just think that's you know, look, we're doing more in Florida to deal with it than the Congress is. I mean, it's just pathetic that's going on. So I was really, really disappointed to see that they basically capitulated entirely on the border. And at this point, you're not going to see anything done on the border for the rest of this year. What, are we just going to let in another 2 million people and do nothing about it? I think it was a real, real failure.
It was a huge, huge failure by the Republicans to just give up all their leverage and give up all their cards. I mean, I don't get it. I don't understand. The one card you had was Ukraine. That was it. That was your one card. That's all you had. That was your Trump card. No pun intended. And you just gave that up. You just give it up. And, you know, and Tom Massey posted the video of all the Democrats cheering after the bill passed, waving their Ukraine flags. And I saw my buddy. I told you, I saw my buddy, Dr. Victoria Coates. She was on Fox News. She was going on about how, once again, there's no way to pay for this bill. There's no way to pay for this bill. So and the TikTok measure is unconstitutional in so many different ways. So many different ways. Yeah, that's right. He did. You're right, Matt. Apparently, Massey said in his tweet that he's being told by the sergeant at arms he's going to be fined $500 a day unless he takes that video down. But he's not taking it down. Do you have the video? Do you have it by chance?
I don't have it. It was more of a visual than audio-based anyway.
It's good, though, to hear them cheer. Let's hear them cheer, and I'll describe it. It's on Massey's Twitter.
Give me a second. I'll pull it up.
Thank you.
I do think they changed their mind. Last I saw, they decided that they were going to allow Massey to keep it in place, which I think it's stupid that they would even demand he take it down in the first place, but at least they finally came to their senses. Give me 1 second. Here it is.
Yep, cheering, waving their little Ukraine flags. Waving their little Ukraine flags. So happy. So happy. Yay! Look at us. Yay! Now, what, you're questioning me before about the discharge petition. Why do you think that that's relevant?
So, I'm trying to look on the bright side of things. I'm trying to find a silver lining. And I do wonder if he felt compelled to bring this foreign aid package to a vote because there were these rumors that there was enough support for a discharge petition that would have resulted in Ukraine aid, but would have taken the process out of his hands entirely. So I wonder if this was his only chance to sort of maintain power. What do you think of that?
I think if that's the case, then he's a control freak. No, I mean, so you're basically saying it was going to happen either way.
Well, yeah. So there was that bipartisan.
There was the Republican discharge petition as well. This is kind of inside baseball, but no, I think what happened is that Mike Johnson, I think he was spooked by the deep state because they have his children hostage or something like that. That's what I think. I don't think it's a discharge petition.
I'm hoping it was, but the thing that leads me to believe that it wasn't, it had nothing to do with the discharge petition threat, was the fact that he squeezed TikTok into the package,
right,
which has absolutely nothing to do with foreign aid for Ukraine, Israel, and Taiwan.
Correct. And is also unconstitutional for many reasons.
I thought Rand Paul's argument that it was a Fifth Amendment violation was incredibly compelling.
Do you have that audio?
It's a op-ed that he wrote for a reason.
That's what I have in my formerly pangolin-stained fingers. I have that op-ed right here. I also have another op-ed I meant to get to you yesterday. It was a guest essay in the New York Times. I thought the Bragg case against Trump was a legal embarrassment. Now I think it's a historic mistake. But let me share that what Matt just referenced there from Senator Rand Paul over at Reason.com and what he wrote about it. And I want you to think of something else, too. In addition to the Republicans' surrender on everything, in addition to the Republicans just completely giving up the store here and getting nothing in exchange, the point that should not be lost on any of us is that whatever the CIA, FBI, the NSA, whatever the deep state wants, it gets it. I mean, it gets, they get whatever they want. They get whatever they want. What Senator Rand Paul said was he thinks the Supreme Court will ultimately rule it unconstitutional because it would violate the First Amendment rights of over 100 million Americans who use TikTok to express themselves, and rule that the forced sale violates the Fifth Amendment. Under the Constitution, the government cannot take your property without accusing and convicting you of a crime, in short, without due process. Since Americans are part of TikTok's ownership, they will eventually get their day in court. Rand Paul brings up an important and often overlooked factor in all of this. No one has produced evidence of any specific legal infractions committed by TikTok, let alone proven such offenses took place. There's a ton of speculation about what TikTok could be doing, but that's it. A lot of people seem sure that TikTok is a tool of the Chinese Communist Party, and it probably is. But that still doesn't mean we can simply sanction the company with no due process, as Senator Paul points out, since it also has American owners as well. Speculation about what the app's ties to China mean, what that means, may be a good reason for certain people to approach TikTok with caution, but they cannot justify legal action against TikTok based on that, as Senator Rand Paul points out. So it will ultimately go to court. The problem, though, and this is going to be the problem. This is going to be the problem. I don't know. I can't even say for sure why I'm worried about the Supreme Court ruling this is okay, but I do have a bad feeling about this because of the national security stuff. I don't know. I'm nervous about it. All right, 855-839-1210. Let's play another clip for you. I wanted to. This is Biden. He used to drive an 18-wheeler. I don't know if you know this or not. Cut 14.
Besides, I used to drive an 18-wheeler. You know what I did? That's exactly right.
Do you know that?
I don't think that's true. He went from college to law school to the Senate. When did he drive an 18-wheeler?
Well, he drove an 18-wheeler and he's got his commercial trucking license, apparently.
I can see like a trucker letting him like sit on his lap and pretend that he's actually driving the truck around, and really like the driver's got his hands on the wheel above Biden's.
I could see Biden sitting there and pulling the horn, like, you know, when you were a kid and you're in the car and you go by trucks and you do that thing with your arm and the trucker would go, you know, I could see Biden sitting in the front seat pretending he's driving, like a trucker sitting him in the passenger seat, like letting him drive. And then he's just pulling down the horn the whole time and going, I'm a truck driver. It's like, and what about Bob when Bill Murray's character is tied up to the boat and he's going, I'm sailing. Oh, man. Biden also read from the teleprompter today and pulled a Ron Burgundy again. This is when you read everything on the teleprompter. You read every single word on the teleprompter. You don't even take a break from that. Take a listen.
Imagine what we can do next. Four more years.
Four more years.
Mm-hmm. That's pause. 4 more years. Pause. It just reminds me of that scene from Anchorman. Do you have that scene from Anchorman?
Yeah.
Here we go.
Great story, compelling and rich. Well, that's going to do it for all of us here at Channel 4 News. You stay classy, San Diego. I'm Ron Burgundy.
Damn it! Who typed a question mark on the teleprompter? For the last time, anything you put on that prompter, Burgundy will read.
Anything you put on that teleprompter, Biden will read. Who put pause on that teleprompter? Huh? Anything you put on that teleprompter, Biden will read.
Almost.
Who put pause on that teleprompter?
I mean, it was almost like it was scripted for everyone in the crowd to come in and start chanting 4 more years.
I think they had one of those signs. You see it at where they go, the applause signs. But instead of applause, it said 4 more years and just started, you know, lighting up neon lights.
It starts flashing.
Yeah, it starts flashing for everybody to start going, 4 more years, 4 more years. He also refused to take questions. Shocking. After signing the $95.3 billion foreign aid package for Israel, Ukraine, and Taiwan. Cut number three.
I thank you all very much, and I'm going off to make a speech at the hotel I'm late for, and I'm plenty of time to answer questions on this and other matters.
Can I have a quick one on TikTok?
Mr. President, do you have a message for the protesters on campus?
Mr. President, get sold, Mr. President. Would you be
Mr.
Pop?
Nothing. He's late. He's got to run. All right. He's got things to do. He's late to give a speech, and they won't wait for him. He's the president of the United States, so he's got to get out of there. He also claims that government-funded free community college won't cost the taxpayers any money. That's amazing. So we're going to give out free college, but it's not going to cost us anything. Like the $95.3 billion in foreign aid won't cost us anything. So that's good to know. These things don't cost us a penny. Just like repaying student loan debt won't cost us anything as we transfer the money from the students. I saw the Babylon Bee had a great headline with response to all these college protests. The headline said, "Students chant death to America, but with a caveat, wait till you pay back our student loans." It's like, death to America. After America pays back our student loans, then death to America. We don't want death to America before they pay the loans and write the check. Let's just make that point. Be very clear on that. I love how all these things don't cost any money. Cut 13.
You know, if I have my way in the next 4 years, I'm going to make community college free. And it'll grow the economy. It won't cost the taxpayers.
See that? It's not going to cost the taxpayers anything. It's going to be free. It's going to be free for everybody. Free. Here's a Pennsylvania voter, hopefully a member of the Zioli Army, Joyce Linaha. She's from Bristol, PA. So that's our area, of course. Joyce Linaha, she was asked by the Associated Press who she voted for in Pennsylvania's primary and who she's going to vote for in the general election. She seems like a sweetheart. Cut number four.
Okay, I voted for Donald Trump, Donald J. Trump, and I voted for him the last time. Was very, very disappointed because he did an excellent job, and I would vote for him again and again. I think that he's truthful, and he follows through. He accomplished all the things that he wanted to accomplish. And I just feel bad that he didn't get a chance to complete all the things that he wanted to do. Well, I'm praying that it's going to be fair. As long as it's fair, that they don't pull any fast things. I think that he will do a good job for us.
That's good. Good for her. I like her very, very much. Well, the National Archives worked hand in hand with Biden's Department of Justice to basically entrap Donald Trump into having classified documents. I'll share that with you as well. Plus, the Bragg case is a legal embarrassment and a historic mistake. A guest essay in the New York Times leading the left to want to cancel the New York Times. I'll share that with you as well. As we continue along the show, it's turned into a busy show, and Congressman Jeff Van Drew is going to join us shortly. But look, you know, my friends at Cherry Hill Volvo want you to know. They're doing a renovation, but that's good news. Good news for you, because the savings at Cherry Hill Volvo are unbelievable. Never better. Never better. Cherry Hill Volvo on Route 70 in Cherry Hill. My great friends over there, you know, we broadcast live from the Cherry Hill Volvo studios. They stand with us, and I hope you will stand with them. So because there's a renovation going on, and because Judith knows that, you know, it's a little bit of an extra inconvenience, they're also renovating the road, she's doubled down on their already aggressive incentives. Spring specials and more. And they've got great inventory. New and certified pre-owned Volvos, the X-Class, the S-Class, which is made at their plant in South Carolina, American Jobs. It's a great sedan, whether it's the S60 or the S90. It's beautiful and sharp and fast. I drove one for five months. I loved it. Or the XC40. It's a great midsize SUV. Lot of room, ton of room. The XC90 with that third row, get the kids around the shore this summer. Beautiful. Either way, you'll have great people who take great care of you. And because the renovation is a little bit of an extra inconvenience, although it's not that bad, I was just there recently picking up my new XC60, a car that I love driving. The savings event that's going on during the renovation sale is better than ever. So go see them today. They're the closest Volvo dealership in our region. They're also the most, the ones who stand with us. I mean, of all the Volvo dealerships in all the land, there's only one that stands with Talk Radio 1210 WPHT and is our studio sponsor, and that's Cherry Hill Volvo. So in this age of cancel culture, think about that and what that means. Cherry Hill Volvo on Route 70 in Cherry Hill, where relationships matter.
Thanks for listening to the Zioli Show podcast from Talk Radio 1210 WPHT and the Odyssey app.
Name this movie.
Do what they say can't be done.
Name the movie.
I was just talking about it with Matt DeSantis. Great film, Smokey and the Bandit.
Love it. Burt Reynolds in his prime.
Totally.
Burt Reynolds in his prime.
Great mustache.
Great mustache. I would argue that his mustache is better than Mike Lindell's, better than Tom Selleck's. His mustache will go down as the all-time greatest mustache of all time.
Tom Selleck's a tough cookie to beat there in the mustache category.
I'm sorry, but I go Burt Reynolds over Tom Selleck's mustache. I mean, Tom Selleck's mustache is so trustworthy that people buy reverse mortgages from him. You know what I mean? But
what about Albert Einstein's mustache? That's a pretty good one.
I feel like he's more iconic for the hair, you know, in the one picture.
Yeah.
Valid.
Yeah. Valid. Plus, he's not, we're talking about American actors, not German.
You said all-time great mustaches.
Not German physicists.
You said all-time great mustaches. The first one I thought of was Albert Einstein.
That's
I don't know why you got to one-up us. It's like such a Harvard thing to do, isn't it? Totally. Henry, just like a Harvard thing. He's like, well, I'm going to bring in Einstein.
Yeah.
I just think the man has an impressive mustache.
I would have said the Pringles guy or the Monopoly man.
Ooh, but Pringles guy is good. Hulk Hogan, I mean, they're not real. Mustache.
Alex Trebek or something. No, he's got to go Einstein because he's an elitist. did you think about that when you were flying first class?
Yeah, I make a list of great mustaches.
Unbelievable. Oh, I want to wish I want to give somebody a birthday shout out. A wonderful Zioli Army member. She's a sweetheart of a woman. And I'm so grateful that she listens to this show, as does her beautiful daughter, Christine Britsky. Happy birthday, Christine. Thank you for listening to the show and your whole family for listening. They sent me a picture of three generations of Britskys listening to the show last summer, and it was a beautiful picture, and I'm very, very honored. So thank you, and hope you have a wonderful birthday, and thank you for listening. We will be in Cape May on May 3rd for our next live show. It's the first live show of the year. And these two idiots, these two will be with me as well.
Thanks.
Okay.
So, I didn't.
Thought we were having a good segment.
I didn't know my mic was on. I'm sorry. I thought I.
Talk about mustaches and then you get insulted.
I what's your name's going to write another email?
I was just saying how much I love Smokey and the Bandit, and then you come out and do this to me.
It's just hostile. It's a hostile work environment. It's a hostile workplace is what it is. What was that woman who wrote that email?
I don't remember.
Remember her name?
But I wish she would write another. I miss her.
I'm tired of you being so mean. It's probably my mother, actually, using an alias. Why are you so mean to Matt and Henry? You couldn't do the show without them. Why are you so mean to them? Huh? I meant to say these two fine, wonderful producers, executive producer Matt DeSantis and associate producer Henry Machette, will be with us at the Grand Hotel. And we're going to do a contest where you can win a date with Henry, which will include one drink. I have a coupon, buy one, get one free drink, and that's it. So we're thinking about doing that for the Grand. So,
yeah, way to really splurge for this one. I really appreciate it. Nice BOGO drink offer.
We don't have many prizes on this show, but this one's pretty good.
See? See?
One free drink with Henry.
And thanks to Christine's daughter, Nicolette, for letting me know about her mom's birthday. Nicolette's also a great friend of the show, a Zioli Army member. And her birthday is May 7th, so if she comes to the Grand on May 3rd, we can sing to her. I like to make sure we do birthday recognitions and anniversary recognitions and also something else. I have a buddy, a friend of mine, who's coming to the Grand Hotel on May 3rd. He's a Korea War vet. He's going to be at the Grand Hotel.
Oh.
Yeah. My buddy Richie Vodin. He's a great guy, and his beautiful, much younger wife will be with him. Much younger than him. Like, a lot younger.
He's not going to have to buy any drinks there.
He better not.
No.
He's a freaking Korea War vet. So, and I saw him and his wife, Faith, at CPAC, and we had a great time catching up. They're New Jersey Republicans, really good people. So, I mean, it's going to be a blast May 3rd. So we'll do something. Do we know if we're going to have anything to give away? Any besides a date with Henry? Do we know if we have anything to give
Probably
away?
Probably not. I mean, I assume we'll have a handful of T-shirts.
Yeah.
Not nearly as many as we should, but I'm sure we'll have some.
I hope so. I hope so. And they'll be free, like community college. They'll just be free.
These will actually be free.
Right. I have to tell you about zombie voters, and no, Nancy Pelosi, don't get excited, Vampiric One. These are not the undead. These are zombie voters. The zombie vote against Donald Trump. I got to get into that with you as well. And also this wonderful guest essay about how just what a disgrace the Alvin Bragg trial really is. But we have Congressman Jeff Van Drew, who's going to call in a little bit after 5 o'clock. He was a no vote on Ukraine funding, thank God. And he, of course, is going to be hosting former president and future president Donald Trump in Wildwood on May 11th. And since I opened my big mouth and said, I'll see you in Wildwood, Mr. President, I guess I'm going to Wildwood May 11th. But I don't do rallies. So I'm hoping we can do something outside the confines of the rally. So I'm not a big fan of rallies. I've been to them, you know. So I'm thinking hopefully we'll be at Mulligan Shore Bar and we can hang out there and watch it on TV. All the people that couldn't get tickets. I'll be with those people, the real people, the people that procrastinated and waited too long to get their free tickets at DonaldJTrump.com. Those are my kind of people. You know what I mean? The procrastinators. We got to stand united. And hopefully it's what we'll be able to do. I'm hoping something will pan out, but we'll see. But we'll see. Either way, I would suggest that you get your tickets today. And also, too, I should mention, I would be remiss if I did not mention that there's a story now that sources are saying that the Secret Service, an agent assigned to Vice President Kamala Harris's detail, got into a fight, and he was armed at the time. An armed U.S. Secret Service agent assigned to Vice President Kamala Harris's protective detail fought unarmed with other detail agents on Monday morning. Apparently, the Secret Service got into a little fight with other agents. This is a story from the Washington Examiner. I'll share that with you as well. We've seen a lot of breaking news today on the show. It's just, that's why we're in afternoons, baby. That's why. That and the fact that I don't want to get up early in the morning. Natural Lawn of America is going to give you green grass, fewer weeds, guaranteed, a beautiful green lawn. What are you waiting for? Call Natural Lawn of America today. Sign up for their free seeding offer. You will have your lawn seeded for free every year as part of Natural Lawn's full service program. The reason why I like Natural Lawn, first of all, they're locally owned and operated, family owned and operated right here in PA and New Jersey. That's important to me. Love local businesses. Secondly, their results are custom tailored to your lawn. So unlike these other lawn companies with the cookie cutter approach, they just come on and spray everything, the same lawn. Natural Lawn takes the time to figure out what your lawn needs. Then they apply those treatments so that you have fewer weeds and greener grass guaranteed. And their unbeatable offer, free seeding every year, ends at the end of April. And we're almost to the end of April. So you want to call them today at 1-800-FREE-SEED. 1-800-FREE-SEED or go to naturallawn.com today. And you'll love the results. You'll be really, really happy. And you'll appreciate the fact that your home, your lawn is going to have greener grass with fewer weeds guaranteed. So don't wait. Call Natural Lawn. Take advantage of their free seeding offer, 1-800-FREE-SEED.
Rich Cioli, weekday afternoons, 3 to 7, Talk Radio 1210, WPHT, and on the Free Odyssey app.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norsides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
It's not just about watching the game. It's about betting on it. I'm Mike Valeni, and on Cash the Ticket, Jim Costa and I break down every college football and NFL matchup like it's the last game we're ever going to watch. From the best bets to the sneaky underdogs, and of course, as my co-host likes to say, the value. And the one thing we're not going to do is pretend we're professionals. We have fun with it. It's an entertainment product, and it makes watching games a hell of a lot of fun. So Cash the Ticket. Follow it in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.